You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Supernatural Provision.
When you get born again, you got to know how things operate now you're in the family of God. I know that's how you did it over there. I know that's how you did it when you were a sinner. I know that's how the rest of the sinners do it. But now you're in the family of God and you have to learn the rules of the kingdom. You have to learn what it is to really be a kingdom citizen. So we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Now, go to Matthew 6:24. Through Matthew, we understand this. Jesus says this. Matthew 6:24. Now keep in mind, I'm talking about two kingdoms here right now, two systems. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon refers to the world's financial system. Or if you allow me to say, the God of money is what mammon refers to here. You cannot serve God, the true God, and the God of money. You cannot serve the true God and this world's financial system. You got to make a decision for how you're going to live. And even though people like me, preachers and teachers like me, who try to give you real practical stuff, we give you 3 steps to this and 5 to this and 7 to this and 10 to that, I've discovered most things in the Word of God, it's really broken down in 2. Either walk by faith or you walk by sight. Amen. You either save or you're lost. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. There's the Old Covenant, there's the New Covenant. You're trying to operate under the law, you're trying to operate under grace. Most things divide into 2. Well, that's how it is when it comes to this financial world. It's either the world system or God's system. Now, everything in the kingdom of God's system operates by faith. Say that with me. Say everything in the kingdom of God's system operates by faith. Now, come on, y'all know everything in this natural system operates by money. Somebody sat in my office one time, and the Spirit of the Lord said, you know, you listen very closely to what they're saying, because they really believe this. They will believe this about you, and you got to show them you ain't the one. Somebody sat down with me one time, and they said, Pastor, I discovered everybody has a price. Everybody has a price. In other words, you can get somebody to do anything if you offer them enough money. That's the world system. They really do believe that everything operates by money. If you got enough money, there are some of you right now, come on, right now. Just look straight ahead, okay? You ain't no way you be no stripper. Ain't no way. That devil is a liar. My body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Except if they offer you $1 million for one time. Then you'd be like, okay, now how hold my leg? How hold this now? How hold my leg? How do it? It was only one time. Mayweather, people used to talk about Mike Tyson, how quick he knocked people out, and Mayweather and all that. And, people are like, man, I wouldn't get in the ring with him. I said, I'll get in there. As soon as he came out, well, he got me. Okay, how many million I get? How many? Just make sure it don't kill me. Yeah. I probably would do that for money. But there's certain things I don't care how much money you give me. I got some drawing lines. Come on. I'm very serious about it. I mean, see, when you're a principled person, money doesn't buy you. Because you trust the principle more than you trust money. And so he says here, you can't serve two masters. If you're going to serve God, you got to trust God more than you trust money. If you're going to serve God, you have to believe his word more than you believe that you can compromise your way into. Or somebody can pay you to do. There's two systems. Now go to Genesis 14. In Genesis 14, interesting story here. We see Abraham, his nephew Lot, after he left him and they parted, he goes to this place called Sodom. Bad place. Bad people. Bad stuff happens down there. Among which, he also gets taken captive by this king, Chedorlaomer. We'll just know him from henceforth as Ched. Everybody say Ched.
Ched.
Okay. And so Abraham gets 300 men trained in his house, and he goes and delivers Lot and brings the people back. Now pick up in Genesis 14, 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer or Ched, and of the kings that were with him at the Valley of Sheba, which is the kings there. Now this is what the Lord showed me here. Because we're going to see two kings confront him. After he comes out of this battle, after he has spoils, what you going to do with it? Because two systems are trying to make a demand on your resources. Two systems are trying to work a deal with you here. Which one are you going to trust? The king of Sodom comes in, and verse 18 says, and the king of Salem and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Now Melchizedek, when you study the scriptures, is representative of Jesus Christ. Because Melchizedek, the Bible says he had no end of days nor beginning. He just shows up like the Son of God. Melchizedek, king of Salem, another translation, of Jerusalem. So this represents Jesus. So he got the king of Sodom, really representative of the devil. Just like Jesus in Matthew 4, if you will bow down to me, you can have the kingdom of this world. Turn these bread into wine. Turn these stones into bread. And you can have this. He tries to work a deal with him. Likewise, we have the king of Sodom. But verse 18, we have the king of Salem representing Jesus. He brought forth bread and wine. But this king of Salem, Melchizedek, was the priest of the Most High God, representative of Jesus. Verse 19, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abraham. See, the blessing is not stuff. The blessing comes from what's been spoken over your life. You are blessed because God said you're blessed. You're not blessed because you get a car. You get a car because you're blessed. You're not blessed because you got a house. No, because you got the blessing on you, a house got to show up. You're not blessed because you got money. No, because you got the blessing, money got to show up. The blessing comes before stuff. That's why you got to know you blessed whether it looks like you got anything or not. I'm blessed because God said I'm blessed. And everything else got to respond to what God said. Hallelujah. So Melchizedek blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave. And now Abraham, in response to the blessing, Abraham gave him tithes of all. He gave him tithes of all, which gave him tithes from what he had taken as spoils from this war. Tithes of all. But keep on reading here, verse 20. But now the king of Sodom want to make a deal. And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons, you take the good for yourself. I need to work some deal. Let's you and I come into some type of agreement, some type of alliance. Verse 22, and Abraham said to the king of Sodom, look at this. Abraham said to the devil. Abraham said to this world system, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, meaning I made a vow to God, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread, even a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that's yours, lest you say, I have made Abraham rich. Which means he is trusting God. Because two chapters before, God said, Abraham, if you go to the land that I will show you, I will bless you. I will make you a blessing. Your name will be great. And Abraham remembered what God said. But now this opportunity with the enemy is coming to try to work a deal to shortcut the blessing or to make the blessing come from some other way. Abraham said, listen, God gonna make me rich and you ain't gonna be able to take one ounce of credit for it. When God starts blessing you supernaturally, he don't want anybody else to take credit but him. God wants to do things in your life that you got to say, and everybody got to say, oh, God did that thing. Oh, won't he will? Will he won't? Won't he do it? Yes, he will. And there's always going to be an opportunity to compromise trust in God. I stand in faith since I can't afford payments. I stand in faith. God got to provide a car for me with no payments. Or I know where my finances are. I know I can't afford a payment. But this salesperson, this finance company, the payday loan place, whoever, tell me they'll give me a loan. But God said, I'm going to supernaturally provide for you. And you won't have to have make any payments since you can't afford any payments anyway. Some things, y'all. See, I told you, I got this settled years ago. Because there was a time where I could pay my bills. Everybody said many years ago. Okay, I'm talking about when I was young, my early 20s, and in the early days I was married, just before I got married. There was a time I could pay my bills, and I wasn't paying my bills. And then there was a time where I wasn't paying my bills because I couldn't pay my bills. Y'all know there's a difference. There's a difference between not paying your bills because you just decide you ain't going to pay your bills. And it's different from not being able to pay your bills. So I got to the place where I made up my mind I'm going to pay everybody I owe. I've taught this many years ago. I found in the scriptures I was studying about supernatural debt cancellation. One of the scriptures that talk about debt cancellation, it says that it's a passing point. Jesus tells a story of a man who owed somebody a lot of money, and he went to the person, and the person would want to, basically, because, you know, in the Bible days, you could go to jail for owing people money, and he was going to send him to jail, and he said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, for I will pay thee all. And what I got from that scripture is that mercy will come if I make a vow to pay all. I contacted my creditors. I had no money to give them. I wrote letters and I called folks. I said, I ain't got no money to give you, but I'm going to pay you. Well, when? I don't know. I just put it on record. I'm going to pay you. I'm serious. I stopped running from creditors. I stopped changing my voice when they answered the phone. I started speaking with a Jersey City accent instead of Hispanic accent. No, Roberto. See, we, no, don't speak the English. I stopped changing my voice. I started owning up to my credit. Yes, this is me. When can we expect the payment next week? No. See, because I used to lie to him. Say anything, get him off the phone. Can I put you down for a payment next week? Sure. You know your rent due next week. That's where your faith is. Your faith is on your rent, not on that credit card. So you go, oh, sure, put me down. And now you're giving me more reason to come after you. Because now you look like a liar. Well, can I put you down for payment? No, next week, my rent due next week. How about the week after that? No, I got to pay my SENG after that. Well, when are we going? I don't know. But I tell you, you believe God with me, let's put our faith together here. Because the Bible says, if any two on earth shall agree, will you pray with me right now? Because if I got it, you got it. Stop lying to those people. Look at them. Say, stop lying to those people. You know that ain't what you going to pay next week. You need your rent. You need your mortgage. Talk about supernatural provision, right? So you got to trust God more than the world system. Sodom trying to make a deal, but he trusts God and he tithes. He believed my tithe is going to start working for me. I don't have to make any compromise with the devil. I'm going to trust God's system. And so from that moment, when you study Abraham looked like he just kept having random encounters. And as he would have these random encounters, he would look like he was in trouble. But in every trouble, he would come out blessed. In every trouble, he would come out better. So there's a famine. He goes down to Egypt and he comes against this king, Abimelech. And Abimelech and Abraham... Sarah is as fine as wine. I'm sorry, fine as beauty. All right, because y'all can't handle that. Okay? Sarah is a fine-looking woman. And Abraham tells her, he said, listen, if they know you my wife, they're going to kill me and take you, tell me my sister, which is, long story, is kind of a roundabout half quarter of a truth. Okay? And so they take Sarah, put her into Abimelech's harem, and he get ready to call for her that night. And God appears to him and says, you're a dead man. Remember what I do? He said, that woman, Sarah, is my servant Abraham's wife. You better not. You're a dead man. And Abimelech says, Lord, but he told me that's his sister. He said, and so I'm doing this and taking my heart. I didn't know. If I knew, I wouldn't do this. The Lord said, all right, as long as you don't touch it. He said. So then he, in the middle of the night, he wakes Abraham up and said, you, get your wife and y'all get the heaven out of here. Look to your neighbor and say, he said heaven. He said, all y'all get your stuff. Get your stuff. Get the heaven out of here. Get the heaven out of my country. Get out of my house. Take your wife with you. And watch it. And then he says, I don't want no trouble. Here, take some cows and take some sheep and take some goats. Here's some money on your way. Just get the heaven out of here. A random encounter, but every random encounter, every time it looked like he was in trouble, he came out better because he had the blessing on him. God was blessed. And what the enemy meant for evil, God was turned around for good. I was teaching our men, those men who came out, a few of y'all came out, a lot of y'all wasn't here, but we talked on Friday night at Man to Man about unresolved issues, because men got unresolved issues too. We think only women got unresolved issues. The men, we just don't talk about it. But one of the things you got to do to get over your past issues, you got to see the hand of God in it. That's one of the things I gave. You got to see the God. You got to see. No, man, if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have this. My God, if I didn't, watch it. If I didn't lose my job, I wouldn't see how good God is and how he'll take care of me with or without a job. Glory to God. If I didn't lose that job, I wouldn't get set up for how he's about to bless me right now. You got to learn to see the hand of God, that in everything you can give God thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Man, everything, all things. I don't know how this is working out and that's working out, but some kind of way I know God got a way. God got a way of putting in a good pot. Everybody say a good pot. God puts it in a good pot. And he takes a little bit of this bad stuff here, and this bad stuff here, and this tragic thing here, and this grief here, and this loss here, and this sickness here. And he puts it in the pot, and he puts it in the good pot. And when he stirs it up, and he puts his hand in it, some kind of way, all things work together for good. Look, somebody say, there's some good in this pot. Oh yes, I don't look good, but when I got by the time God gets finished working this thing out, putting this thing together, it's gonna work out for my good. I don't know how, but God got a way. Gotta see that. And that's what I saw happen with Abraham. He started trusting God's system. He started trusting God's system. I'm not gonna make any deals with the devil. I'm not going to compromise. If this is the way God told me to do it, I'm going to have to walk it out. Now, can I tell you this here? The way of faith doesn't always happen as quick as the natural way. If there's anything the scripture tells us is that. God told Abraham he was going to have a child. He had to wait for 25 years. And he waited till he was 100 to give it to him. And the reason why I believe that that's in the scriptures is not to make it seem like how crazy this is, but to let us know, because there's hardly anybody in here who's 100 years old who still believes in God for a promise. Since you're not 100 yet, you can still believe God for your promise. Are y'all with me here? It's not too late for God to bless you. It's not too late for God to do something supernatural. And so Abraham trusted God. Abraham made the decision, I will trust God to make me rich. Say this, I will trust God to make me rich. So I got to trust God's supernatural system of provision more than his world system. Listen to me. More than a credit system. More than a payday loan system. I'm just going to tell y'all. I'm not making any exception to it. I'm going to say it. It's not the will of God for you to go down a payday loan. And watch this. Thank you, Lord. Know why we do that? Because we're caught up in crisis living and crisis thinking. You have to be careful that you just don't live from crisis to crisis. Because if all you do is crisis living, you'll jump out the frying pan into the fire, just as long as you have the frying pan now. But all you think, we all know, and I can't judge, but you understand that when those people during 9/11 in the Twin Towers, there were people who were jumping out the window. They weren't going to live jumping out the window. But in the midst of their crisis, I just got to get out of this. That's a bad way to live financially. I just got to get it. So if I got to go to title match, just get out of this. If I got to go to a loan shop, just get out of this. Okay? If I got to sell my body, I'm going to no more sell extreme. For one night, just do this. If I just got to run this one drug deal and no more, just do this. Just get out. No. See, that's the devil wants you to go from crisis to crisis. And through your crisis, he will draw you further in. Draw you further in to the world system. You have to make up your mind. There's some things I'm not going to do. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to compromise my principles. I got to trust God. Now watch this. And because I trust God, that means I may have to wait. That may mean I may, look, come on, I'm going to be honest with you. When you trust God in the natural, it may get worse before it gets better. See, preachers don't tell you all that. Come on, have anyone ever trust God and it got worse before it got better? That's what happened to the children of Israel in Egypt, right? They trust in God. And God sends the plagues. And it's in one plague, and two plagues, and three plagues, and four plagues. Well, God, when you going to do this? Well, I got a few more plagues got to work. And five plagues. It's not like, y'all need to understand. It's not like God's trying to think of something that he can do to convince Pharaoh. God was working this thing out according to his plan. Now, while he's working it out, they still in slavery another day. Oh, this is so good. They trust God for a deliverer. Moses shows up and says, the Lord has spoken to me out of a burning bush, told me to tell you, Pharaoh, let my people go that they may go worship me. And Pharaoh said, oh, y'all got time to worship. Oh, y'all got time. The slaves got time to worship. Oh, y'all aren't busy enough. Y'all ain't working hard enough. So now I tell you what, since y'all got time to worship and you need a Sabbath, you need to make brick without straw. It got worse when God sent the deliverer. And they had to work harder. Can I tell you, it may look like it's getting worse, but if you trust in God, it's going to be worth whatever you got to go through for God to bring forth his glory and manifest what he's going to do on the other side of what you're going through right now. Somebody say, I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep trusting him. So I got to trust God. Go to 1 Timothy 6, 17. God tells Timothy, he says, now this is addressed to not the struggling people in the church. 1 Timothy 6 is addressed to the rich people in the church. Those of us who got more than enough. Those of us who don't have to negotiate with the creditors anymore. And we don't have to negotiate we never even have a crisis that we think about going to payday loan. Those of us who have more than enough and who got brain space that we can bless other people. He said, this is who this scripture is addressed to. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud. King James Version calls it high-minded. Okay? And not to trust in their money, which is unreliable, because these dollars ain't loyal. Don't trust your money.
Are you concerned that your needs aren't being met? God can and will meet your needs supernaturally. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains God can provide for you in ways that are unexplainable when you use your faith. Order this powerful message today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Supernatural Provision.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina, 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.